Part 5. Chapter 5. But it wasn't the whole world of the Cyclos laughing. It was Turl. Mid-morning sunlight filled the cage as Johnny awoke. Turl was standing at the second table, turning over the man books and laughing. Johnny sat up in his robes.
You finished with these, animal?
Johnny went over to the artificial pond and washed his face. A month back, he had persuaded Turl to keep a trickle running in so he could get clean water at the intake. It was cold and refreshed him. There was a shattering crash in the air, and for a moment he thought something had blown up, but it was only the recon drone passing overhead. For some days now, it had been making mid-morning sweeps. Kerr had explained to him what it was. It was an ore detection, activity surveillance craft, capable of taking continuous pictures. It was regulated by remote control. All his life, Johnny had seen such craft overhead, and had supposed they were natural phenomena, such as meteors or the sun and moon. But those had passed every few days, and this one was passing daily. The old ones did not rumble in the distance as they approached, and did not make an explosion as they went by. This one did. Kerr hadn't really known why, but it had to do with speed. They were very fast. You couldn't turn one in the air or stop one. You could only guide it, and it had to go all the way around the planet to get back. So this one, if it was the same one, was circling the planet daily. The harsh boom was very unpleasant. Turl looked up at it, and then carefully ignored it. Mindsight personnel didn't like it.
"Why every day?"
said Johnny, looking up at it. It was an element in his escape planning. It only took pictures, but that would be enough.
"I said,"
snarled Turl.
"Are you finished with these books?"
The recon drone was fading, its rumble losing itself across the eastern plains. Its path had been from the mountains. Johnny made a breakfast of cold meat and water. Turl stacked the books up in his arms and went to the cage door. Turl halted, indifferently.
"If you're so keen on data about those mountains, there's a whole relief map of them in the library of that town up north. You want to look at it?"
Instantly alert, Johnny nevertheless kept on with his breakfast. An accommodating Turl always has something else in mind. But this was a chance Johnny had scarcely dared hope for. In his planning, he had gone over ways to get Turl to take him out in the car. It would be a simple matter to throw a door catch, swing a blast of air into the car, hit the emergency stop button, and hold a gun on Turl. Desperate, but it was a chance.
"I got nothing to do today. Your machine training has ended. We might run up to the town, look at that relief map. Do a little hunting. Maybe look some more for your horse."
A rambling Turl was not within Johnny's experience. Did the monster know something?
"I want to show you something anyways. So get your things together and I'll be by in about an hour. And we'll take a ride. I've got to check some things. I'll be back. Be ready, animal."
Johnny scrambled. This was a bit premature, and it upset his planning, but he looked on it as a heaven-sent chance. He had to get away and get to his people, both to stop Chrissy if she attempted to keep her promise, and to move the village to a safer place. There were only 2 weeks left before the Constellation returned to its place. He put the small gun in his belt pouch, put the metal cutter alongside his ankle, packed a supply of smoked beef. He dressed in buckskin. When the hour was up, a vehicle rumbled into sight and stopped. Johnny stared at it, wondering what was going on. This was not the Mark III tank. It was a simple equipment truck, normally used for transporting machinery. It had an enclosed, pressurized cab. The back was large and open, surrounded by stakes. Its only similarity to a tank was that it had no wheels, but skimmed a varying distance, up to 3 feet above ground. Then Johnny realized that this might work to his advantage. It had no heat seekers, no guns. Turl got out and opened the cage.
"Throw your things into the back, animal," and ride in the back.
He unfastened the leash and boosted Johnny over the tailgate. He took out a pocket welder and fastened the leash to the cab.
This way, I won't have to smell those hides.
He was laughing when he got into the cab, took off his mask, and turned on its system. Suddenly, Johnny realized he had no way of immobilizing Turl. He couldn't open the door on him. The truck skimmed away. It was slower than the tanks, and it was not as well cushioned against the ground, for it was now running very underloaded. Johnny held on, his head ducked below the forward cab level. The 80-mile-an-hour wind of passage roared over his head and against the truck's upright stakes. He was thinking, fast. Somehow he could play this so as to get the truck as well. Its controls weren't any different, of that he was certain, from the quick glance he had had. All Cyclo controls were simple levers and buttons. What a relief it would be to get rid of this collar. His heart was thudding expectantly. Once again, if he made no mistakes, he would be free.